So shloka 8 and 9 we saw in the last class. So with those two shlokas, Krishna concludes the stages through which a grahastha has to go through to come to Vidvat Sannyasa. So while talking about the stages, the first stage mentioned by Krishna was what? Karma Yoga. So in the 7th shloka he said, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriyaha. So the first stage one has to start is with Karma Yoga. But Krishna did not state what Karma Yoga is. That we have to see again. We only remind ourselves that the Karma Yoga is Karmani Evam Adhikaraha Te Ma Paleshu. That's what we have to understand. But Krishna explicitly did not say it here. So Krishna wants to talk about the Karma Yoga in the following slokas 10, 11 and 12, which we will see today. Brahman Yadaya Karmani.
Brahman Yadaya Karmani. Brahman Yadaya Karmani.
Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha.
Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha. Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha.
Brahman Yadaya Karmani. Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha.
Brahman Yadaya Karmani. Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha. Brahman Yadaya Karmani. Sankam Tyaktva Karoti Yaha.
Lipyate na sa papena.
Lipyate na sa papena. Lipyate na sa papena.
Padma Patrami Vambasa.
Padma Patrami Vambasa. Padma Patrami Vambasa.
Lipyate na sa papena. Padma Padrami Vambasa.
Lipyate na sa papena. Padma Patrami Vambasa. Lipyate na sa papena. Padma Patrami Vambasa.
So Krishna again comes back to the Karma Yoga topic. Why should Krishna should do that? Because Karma Yoga is very important. He wants to reiterate that. And understanding Karma Yoga takes only a second or a minute. Just to know what Karma Yoga is. Very, very simple. What is Karma Yoga? To be reactionless. Do not react. Period. For anything, don't react. That is Karma Yoga. So that's all Krishna wants to reiterate. But everybody knows that, right? Everybody knows. Reaction always leads to so much problems. Everybody knows that. But still we keep on doing this. We still keep on reacting. We still keep on misbehaving all the time. So everybody knows anger, anxiety, depression, all those things are bad. Nobody does know. Everybody knows that. This still happens because our reaction has become very mechanical in us. Reaction has become mechanical. We are conditioned by that attitude. Our attitude is to react. We are conditioned by that right from birth almost. Every time you even tell anything to the child reacts. Right from childhood, it has been a reaction. So the moment something gets wrong from our angle, it may not be really wrong. Something gets wrong from our angle, I immediately react. I think I am finished, I have to react. So since such a strong conditioning is there, Krishna has to do deconditioning of us. So deconditioning requires a lot of effort. So he has to again and again reiterate that. That is why he comes back to Karma Yoga topic all the time. So it requires constant repetition. We have to remind ourselves again and again not to react all the time. Very difficult, but we have to remind ourselves to do that. So Krishna does this tirelessly almost in every chapter. Every chapter there is some element of Karma Yoga will be there. He will always mention something related to that. So the most important sadhana is getting out of the attitude towards reaction. We should not react for anything. Okay. All other sadhanas are useless if the mind is not calmed down. If the mind is not in a tranquil state, if it is not calmed down, if it is agitated, if it is always reacting, it is very, very difficult to pursue further sadhana in Jnana Marga. So only with a reactionless mind you can go towards Karma Yoga, then Jnana Yoga, to Jnanam, to Moksha. So this is the very, very important requirement. I might have finished hundreds of pujas, might have undertaken so many pilgrimages, no problem. Might have done this karma, that karma, big yajnas, all that I might have done. might have given millions of dollars to charity, all those things are useless if my mind is not free from reaction. If it gets agitated quickly, all those things are useless. Or if you put it positively, does you find shanti at least in what you have done? We have undertaken so many pilgrimages. We went to Manasarovar, Kailash, Parikrama, everything we have done. In spite of all that, do you find shanti within yourself? The moment you come back, even there, after going to there also, our ajnanam doesn't leave us. Even there also we have problems. Somebody got a better cottage, you always have a problem. In my cottage, it leaks slightly more than his. So for everything there is problem, everything there is reaction. So I should observe, at least when we do driving every day, we can see it every day. It's a nitya sadhana, right, for us. Driving is a nitya sadhana. Exercise, your tranquility during driving, very difficult. Some phone comes, you have to pick up, all that. So if that is not there, the whole thing is useless. Whatever you want to do, karma yoga, if you have to strive to get it, first to make sure that we don't react. Reaction is a big problem. This doesn't get out of people. It is regardless of age. He may be 100, still he would be reacting. So this is a problem of lot of people. So a reactionless mind is ultimately the most important first stage. Okay. So Krishna repeats it again and again. And what is karma yoga? Karma yoga, yaha karmani karoti. The one who performs his karma. Yaha karmani karoti. One performs, which is his duty. Yes, karma is not just karma. He does the karma as the sense of duty. As a duty he does. Because Krishna has already, we have seen it elaborately earlier. He has already mentioned that whenever Krishna talks about karma, it should be understood as duty. It is not just any karma. Whatever karma you do it with an attitude of duty. So, niyatam kuru karmatvam. We have already seen that idea. Niyatam kuru karmatvam, niyata karma. So, in the third chapter also, he said, swadharme nidanam shreyaha. That's what Krishna said. Swadharme is always adhere to your swadharma. So, karma means swadharma. Swadharma means one's own duty. So, that's how we should understand karma. Then, what about kamya karma? People may ask this question. I do a lot of kamya karmas. I want this in return, I want that in return. I go to this temple, Archana, pay $10 ticket. I told you all that, right? You know, list a million names and I want this, that and all. They are kamya karmas. I want this, all these things in return for this, all that. Really speaking, kamya karma should not be there at all. For a person in this sadhana, who wants to go to moksha, who wants to pursue jnana marga, no kamya karma should be there at all. You don't have to go be, you know, in front of the God and list all these things. I want this, that and all. That means you are belittling the Lord. God knows what you want. You don't have to ask all those things from Him. So He knows it. So we don't have to ask all that. So kamya karma should not be there at all. Because a karma yogi should have only one kama. He can have only one desire. What is that desire? Moksha. Moksha alone is the only desire for a karma yogi. For a karmi, you can have million desires. Doesn't matter. We are not talking about them. But if you are going to be a karma yogi, there can be only one legitimate desire, and that desire is moksha. So he has only this nitya karma he has to do, naimittika karma he has to do, all these things, because they are all duties. What are nitya karma? I explained earlier. Nitya karmas are, for example, sandhya vandana karma. A karma that you are supposed to do every day without expecting anything in return. It is your duty. Keep on. There may be some implied benefits. When you do Surya Namaskara, you get a lot of exercise to the body, pranayama, all those things. They give some exercise to the body. But that is not the intent. Intent is, it is a nitya karma. It should be done every time. Should be always done. Same thing, naimittika karma. There are certain occasions only they are done. If those occasions don't come, you don't do that. For example, solar eclipse, lunar eclipse come. At that time you do some tarpan and all that thing. You do that only when they come. If they don't come, you don't do it. But if they come, you should do it. We cannot ask what I will get in return for that. It is a nitya karma. It is a karma that should be done. Benefits could be implied, but it is not the intent. Okay? So except for those karmas, this person, karma yogi, cannot do any karma which is a kamya karma. He will do only duties. All the karma will be duties. He does not himself want anything except moksha. That alone he wants. That's the only desire allowed for him. And if he has not reached that stage, He has not reached this at all. Okay. Kamya karma can be there legitimately. Possibly can be there without going into adharma. You can ask for certain things without going to adharma. One can fulfill it also. No problem at all. For example, if I have an interest in something and legitimately I can acquire that. And there also it should be what? Ultimately we should try to get rid of that also. But in day-to-day locomotion of life, certain things cannot be avoided. You may need certain things for regular conduct of life. You can legitimately ask for them, no problem. But ultimately we should understand that also has to go away. Because for day-to-day life you need to have certain things. So you can acquire them legitimately, no problem. In the normal dharmic sense, no problem at all. Because once the desire is cultivated and the desire takes over, even if it is adharmic means, a person will try to go there and get it. So that is where it should be clipped right in the beginning. Whatever is dharmic way, one wants to get it, fine, but after some time, that should also get away. So karmani here means what? Swadharma rupa karmani. All those things which are my duties of the swadharma. Yaha karoti, the one who does. How? Brahmani adaya. How he does the swadharma also? Brahmani adaya. Brahman here means Ishwaraha. Here Brahman means Ishwaraha. Adaya means arpayitva. You can as an offering to him. So I do this karma as if it is an offering to the Lord. It is, I do it with an attitude, it is my duty. And I also do it, this I am offering to the Lord. Whatever karma I do, I offer it to the Lord. I don't own up anything, it is all offered to the Lord. So Brahmani Adaya means what? Ishwaram Arpanam Kritva. Having offered, offering to the Lord. Ishwara Arpanam. So this can be taught actually in the third chapter also. Krishna said, Yajnatat Karmanonyatram Lokoyam Karma Bandanaha. Only those actions bind a person which are not performed for the sake of the sacrifice, for pleasing the Lord. So any action that I do, which is not done with the attitude of offering to the Lord, all those actions will bind me. But if I do any action as an offering to the Lord, they don't bind me at all. Whatever comes out of that action, punya, papa, don't bind me. So whatever I do it as an offering to the Lord. So the same idea, this is called Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. We told that earlier. So therefore, Sangam Tektva, having given up the concern for the result. Here Sangam means the result. The result of the action. Having renounced, having given up the concern for the result. If I do a karma, I don't have any concern for the result. And here also, what do you mean really by giving up the concern for the result? We have seen that earlier. We can plan for the result, no problem. I can do any amount of planning. I can do this karma with lot of planning, expecting that result. So this will do good to this person. All that thing I can do. Why I can plan all that? Then only I will do a good karma. For doing a good karma, you need to plan. You need to arrange so many things. All that you can do, no problem. But once the result comes, do not resist. Just accept it. That is because we have no control on the result. So up to that point, planning and all is fine, no problem. But concern for the result is quite another thing. Planning for the result is one thing, but concern for the result is quite another thing. I can plan for the result, do a good karma. But I will have no concern for the result. Whatever comes, I take it. I just don't resist. So I plan, I do. And afterwards, whatever is going to come is karmani eva adhikaragate attitude. Ma karma paleshu. So I have planned for in this fashion, whether these plans are going to take place as I want, that's a totally different thing. Because of unseen circumstances, something might go wrong. All those things can happen. Unknown forces can be there. So the whole thing is going to go away. I have no control on that. But one thing is what? I have done my best. I have done my duty. I have done it sincerely. I have done my best. Whatever comes from that is Ishwara Prasadam. So after doing that, Ishwara Arpanam. And whatever comes out of that is Ishwara Prasada. I do not qualify that. I accept it. It is Ishwara Prasada. Because Ishwara Arpanam I have done, so Palam is Ishwara Prasada. That is natural. So Sangam Tektva, that is possible only when I have Prasada Buddhi. So only when I have that kind of attitude, this not having concern for the result is never possible. So we should have that attitude. So this is the only way. So if a person has this attitude, Ishwara Arpana Buddhi and Ishwara Prasada Buddhi, Saha Papena Nalipyate. Saha Papena, he is not at all affected by Papam. Such a person is not at all affected by Papam. Papam means what? Dukkham or negative results. He is not affected by any of them at all. Dukkham in the form of what? Reaction. Because how do we express our dukkham? Reaction. Right? In the form of reaction. So if the result is negative, frustration comes, dissatisfaction comes, depression comes, worry comes, anxiety comes, anger comes, all are dukkham. They are all put, all big name, dukkham. So all these things, na lipyate, they do not touch this person. They do not affect this person at all. Like what? Padma Patram Iva Ambasa. Padma Patram Iva Ambasa. Just like a lotus leaf, Padma Patram Iva Ambasa is not at all wet by the water. Ambasa means again water. By water it is not at all wet. So Krishna takes the lotus leaf as an example, because why he takes lotus leaf? Not only because of its quality not to get wet by water. Where is lotus leaf? It is always in water. It is always in the environment of water. It is surrounded by water everywhere. In spite of it, it is not wet by water. It is not just you to get, take a lotus leaf and put a water drop on that. It is in water all the time. Having been in water all the time, it is not at all wet. So it is in pravritti marga all the time. As you are in action all the time, as a grahastha, you are in action all the time. It is pravritti marga. It is not nivritti marga. It is pravritti marga. So the lotus leaf is in pravritti marga. Whereas a mango leaf, it is on a tree, it is in nivritti marga. It is in environment of what? Only air, space, nothing else. Right? Whereas here it is in water all the time. So that is away from the water, a mango leaf. So it is in nivritti marga, like a sannyasi, in the sannyasa ashrama. Whereas the lotus leaf example is taken because it is not wet with water, just because, not because it is away from water, it is in water. It is in the midst of water, intimately associated with water from all sides, still it is not wet. Okay. Similarly, a grahastha, he is all the time doing some work or the other. Always he is some work or the other, right? Maybe some work for the wife, some work for the father, some work for the son, some work for the boss, some work for the neighbor. We don't know. He is always in the midst of work, some job or the other. And all of them need not be successful also. He can be doing so many work. All of them need not be successful. Some may be successful, some may be okay, some may not be. But the man is like what? A strong pillar. Padma Patram Ambasa Iva. We have to again supply. Here na lipyate. He is not affected. Even though he is in the midst of all actions, he is not affected by any of those actions. Like the Padma Patram, like the lotus leaf. So yata Padma Patram Ambasa na lipyate, tata ayam na lipyate. This person also is not affected by anything else, even though he is in the middle of all actions. This person is a karma yogi. Such a person only is a karma yogi. So in the previous sloka, we had Vidya Sannyasa, and there also it looked similar. When we talked about Vidya Sannyasa also, he is not affected by karma palam. Vidya Sannyasi also is not affected by karma palam. Karma palam, karma yogi also is not affected by karma palam. So previous shloka is Vidya Sannyasi, this shloka is karma yogi. Then what is the difference? Both are not affected by karma palam. Vidya Sannyasi also is not affected. Karma yogi also is not affected. Then what is the difference between these two? The essential difference is, in the case of Vidya Sannyasi, what he says? I do not do any karma. I am akarta asmi. I am not doing any karma. He does not have kartrutva buddhi. The doership he doesn't have. The Vidya Sannyasi doesn't have kartrutva buddhi. Whereas a karma yogi what? He is very much, he has kartrutva buddhi. I am doing the karma. He has a kartrutva. He does not say, I have not done the action. He always says, I have done the action. That's what this karma yogi says. He does also say, result comes. Karma palam also comes. He knows. So, but the only difference is when he receives the result, when the karma yogi receives the result, he takes it as Ishwara Prasadam. So he has got the aham karta attitude, he also has the aham bhokta attitude, but he knows that is Ishwara Prasadam. Ishwara Arpanam, Ishwara Prasadam, that's what he knows. So karma yoga has kartrutvam. He has kartrutva buddhim, so he is still ignorant.
Because he is still ignorant, he is still an ajnani. He may be karma yogi, but still an ajnani. So he has kartrutva buddhi, the doership. Whereas a vidvat sannyasi is akarta. He is not a doer because he is a jnani. Vidvat sannyasi is a jnani, so he has nothing more to travel. Whereas karma yogi has still a long journey. From karma yoga, he has to go to jnana yoga, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Then he has to get jnanam and then moksha. So he has still a long travel, whereas for a vidya sannyasi, he has nothing more to travel. So karma yoga is one, karma yogi is only a beginner. In jnana sadhana, karma yogi is only a beginner. Karmi, forget it. Karma yogi is only a beginner, and vidya sannyasi has already reached the destination. Okay, between, this is the difference between a karma yogi, even though the descriptions and some of these things, they are all similar, we have to understand. Yes, there is a strong difference between these two. So karma yogi is still a sadhaka. He is still doing the sadhana. He is still a sadhaka. Whereas a vidvat sannyasi is a siddha purushaha. He has already reached the destination. He is a siddha purushaha.
Kaye namanasa buddhya.
Kaye namanasa buddhya. Kaye namanasa buddhya.
Kevalairindriyairapi. Manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi.
Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi. Kayena manasa buddhya kevalairindriyairapi.
Yogina karma kurvanti.
Yogina karma kurvanti. Yogina karma kurvanti.
Sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye.
Sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye.
Yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye.
Yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye. Yogina karma kurvanti sangam tyaktvatma shuddhaye.
So Krishna still continues the topic of karma yoga here. Previously Krishna put the karma phalam in a particular way. Now he is going to say it in a different way. Previously what he did, karma yoga means what? The karma yogi is the one who is not affected by reaction. He has no reaction. That's what he said. He is not affected by karma palam. That's what he said earlier. So not affected by something, it is kind of a negative way of putting that. So what will not happen? He is putting here in a slightly positive sense, a karma yogi gets chitta shuddhi. Instead of saying that he is not getting reaction, he is telling now he is getting chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. He gets chitta samskara. That's what he is getting. Earlier he said the dirt goes away. It's almost like, right? So dirt goes away. That's what he said earlier. Now he says he gets purity increases. That's what he says. Both are same, but saying differently, right? There he said dirt went away earlier. Now he says his purity increases. So atma shuddhaye yoginaha karma kurvanti. In the second line, that's what he says. Atma shuddhaye yoginaha karma kurvanti. Atma, Atma here means mind. It is not the Sachidananda Atma, it is Antakarnam. Atma Shuddhaye for the purification of the mind. Atma Shuddhaye means for the purification of the mind. Why do we say mind and not Atma here? For the purification of Atma, do we have to do anything?
No.
We don't have to do anything for the purification of Atma. Atma is ever pure, right? So you don't have to purify anything because Atma is always pure, ever pure. But the mind has to be purified because what? It is ever impure. Atma is ever pure, mind is ever impure. So it's a full this thing. You have to always go through the purification process. So purification here means what? Is ripping out of all the R&D issues. R&D means ragadveshas. All the ragadveshas have to go out of the mind. So that is what purification here means. All R&D has to go. So for the sake of purification of the mind, for the sake of neutralization of R&D, here you cannot just remove it. You have to first neutralize them. All ragadveshas are there. So you have to kind of neutralize them and blend them. So that's what he is doing. Yoginaha karma kurvanti. For the sake of purification of the mind, the yogis, they do karma. All these yogis, they do karma for the sake of purification, for the sake of removing the ragadveshas. Yoginaha means pravritti margastha. Those people who are in the pravritti marga, those who are in the grahastha ashram.
These are not yogis who are like sannyasis sitting in a hut. These are all people who are in the family life. Grahastha ashrama means karma kurvanti, they perform action. Sangam tektva, without concern for the result. So they all these grahastha ashramis, they do action without concern for the result. They are the yogis. So this has been told actually in the previous loka itself. And what type of karma? The karma is duty. It is not any karma, they do any karma as duty. As their duty, that we should remember. Because otherwise people, what will they will do? They will ask the question, if I have no concern for karma at all, karma palam, why should I do action at all? People can ask that question, right? If I don't have any concern for the result, why should I do action? There is no need for action. Right? Because he does it because it happens to be his duty. When it is your duty, you cannot ask the question, what I am going to get out of that? It is your duty. Right? Can you ask the question, what I will get out of it? It is your duty. Right? So he is a mature person to know, as long as I live, I have to do my duty belonging to whatever ashrama I am. I can be Brahmachari ashrama, I have my duties. Grahastha ashrama has duties. Vanaprasthi has duties. Sannyasi has duties. So whatever ashrama I am in, I have to perform my duties. This cycle has to be made. You cannot just leave it. So I take help from the world. So I have to contribute back to the world. When I am taking everything from the world, I have to contribute back to the world. As I told earlier, long time, the harmony in the chain that is mentioned, that is maintained by every other thing in creation. The plants maintain the harmony. Whatever they actually give more than what they receive from nature. Animals maintain the harmony. Only humans have this issue. They take more, give less, or give nothing. Or even give negative things. That's what the humans do. So they do not maintain this harmony. If you don't maintain the harmony, even in this entire chain, if there is one weak link, that is going to affect the entire chain. So the entire creation is going to be affected if there is one weak link here. And this is due to humans mostly, because they are the ones, because they have got the sixth sense, they have got the ability to discriminate good and bad, they always choose for the bad and do more bad to society than any good. So because of that, there is always this disruption of harmony in the cosmic makeup, the cosmic system. So duty is the motive of action. For whatever action I do it with a sense of duty. That is the motive for action, not the karma phala. The attitude that it is my duty, that is the motivation. I should do my duty. I should not do it because I want to get something out of this. So not any worldly advantage should be the motive. It can be anything else. In all phases, that is true. So duty conscious action. So whatever action we do, it should be duty conscious action. It should not be any action. So yoginaha karma kurvanti sangam tyaktva. And what type of karma? Here also Krishna says all types of karma. Kayena, by the body, any action that is done by the body. I can do so many actions with the physical body. Manasa, with my mind I may do so many actions. And buddhya, with my intellect. So whether it is by the body, mind or intellect. Indriyehi api, with the sense organs also. So any action I do, either through my body, through my mind, or through my buddhi, or through all my organs, you know, say indriyehi api. So actions at the level of all organs. Whatever I do, and kevalehi. Kevalehi means what? Indicates without attachment. Kevalehi means without attachment. So this should be connected with every word actually, the kevalehi. Kevalena kayena. Should be always attached with that. Kevalena manasa. Kevalaya buddhya and kevalaihi indriyaihi. So without attachment to any other action, if I do that, so with that Ishwara Arpana buddhi and Ishwara Prasada buddhi, we have to supply it actually from the previous shloka. Whatever action I do with an attitude of Ishwara Arpanam and at the time of getting the result as Ishwara Prasada. So it is like the repetition of the previous shloka, put it slightly differently. By doing this, I get more purity. I get purified more. So that's what Krishna says. By doing this, you get purified more. Yukta karma palan tyaktva.
Yukta karma palan tyaktva. Yukta karma palan tyaktva.
Shanti mapnoti naishtikim.
Shanti mapnoti naishtikim.
Yukta
కర్మ ఫలం త్యక్త్వా శాంతిమాప్నోతి నైష్టికీం. అయుక్త కామకారేణ ఫలే సక్తో నిబధ్యతే. అయుక్త కామకారేణ ఫలే సక్తో నిబధ్యతే. So if Kama Yoga is, Karma Yoga is not practiced, what will happen? What will be the consequence? That's what is said in this shloka. So if Karma Yoga is not performed, what will be the consequence? So a contrast is given here between Karma Yogi and Akarma Yogi. Or a Karmi. A person who is a Karma Yogi and a Karmi, a contrast is provided here. What is the consequence of Karma Yoga and Akarma, Akarma Yoga? So once this is clearly picturized, then everyone will know that Karma Yoga is better. Once we understand clearly what is the difference between a karma, a mere karma and Karma Yoga, then people will understand it very clearly. Even if a person is not interested in the phalam of Karma Yoga, I do an action, I have no interest in the result at all. Or at least to avoid the damages caused by karma, that person has to practice Karma Yoga. So if regardless of phalam, whatever damage otherwise might be caused to him by not performing Karma Yoga, the person at least should stick to Karma Yoga. He may not be interested in moksha. He may not even believe in that. This person may not believe in moksha. He may not believe in chitta shuddhi, no purity of mind and all. He is not interested in all those things. But there are other damages that might be caused by having this attitude. So having an attitude of Karma Yoga, that is going to save this person from those dangers, from those problems. So at least to avoid the problems of reaction, one should practice Karma Yoga. He may not be interested in moksha. He may not believe in that also. He may not believe in rebirth. He may not believe in chitta shuddhi. All those things, leave alone all of them. But at least to avoid the danger, avoid the problems that may come out of just mere karma, the person has to practice this. That is what is said here. Yuktaha naitikim shantim apnoti. Yuktaha. Yuktaha means here, a karma yogi. Yuktaha. A karma yogena yuktaha. The person endowed with this attitude of karma yoga, karma yogi, the one who practices karma yoga, what he will attain? Naitikim shantim apnoti. Naitikim shantim. He enjoys peace which belongs to Karma Yoga Nishta. Naitikim here refers to Karma Yoga Nishta, which is belonging to an active way of life called Karma Yoga Nishta. He is in the active way of life. And the peace of mind belonging to Karma Yoga Nishta, he will certainly attain. So he will have the peace of mind belonging to Karma Yoga Nishta. He may, you know, play all Wimbledon, all kinds of matches. If this person, he wins, fine. If he doesn't win, he is not going to despair. But he is going to think, I have learnt a lot. What an opponent I faced. So he is using it as a learning experience. So this person takes it all as a learning curve for him. He doesn't get affected by that at all. He uses it for his improvement even further. So the peace of mind belonging to Karma Yoga Nishta, this person definitely is going to attain when he is doing it with an attitude of Karma Yoga. Of course, it's supposed to be a relative peace only, right? It's not a perfect absolute peace is what? Only when you get moksha. Till that time, it's only a relative peace, but it's a stepping stone. It's a stepping stone to the absolute peace, which comes through knowledge. So here, this is karma. We are still in the field of karma. We are not in the field of jnana. So still in the field of karma, so we still get some peace, and that peace is not an absolute peace, a relative peace, but it is a stepping stone to get absolute peace. Then we reach peace in shanti in two stages. What? The first peace is what? It's a relative peace. It's a relative peace, first peace, attained through Karma Yoga. So through Karma Yoga, we get that relative shanti, and then there is this absolute shanti attained through Jnana Yoga later. So Karma Yogena Apekshika Shantihi and Jnana Yogena Adyantika Shantihi.
apekshika and adyantika. So the first aid, it's like a first aid, or sometimes it's an immediate aid you need. So that's what you get. So I have so much pain, so let me be first relieved of the pain. And later, I have to go to the cause of the pain and then try to get rid of the cause and get absolute free from pain. So he has to continue and then go on, go for the permanent cure. So here also, Karma Yoga gives Shanti, whereas the second time it is said, the one who does not do Karma Yoga gets only bound in samsara. So when you do Karma Yoga, you get Shanti, it's an intermediate Shanti. But when you do not do that, you get bound in samsara. That is the danger. Then he goes through what? Tremendous stress and strain. When he goes through samsara, tremendous stress and strain. So the word here, Naishtikim Shantim, can refer to both intermediate relative peace or absolute peace in due course. But Shankaracharya calls it absolute peace only because he thinks this Karma Yogi will pursue the path of Jnana Marga and go to moksha ultimately. Because this is the first step that will lead to moksha, so he interprets it as absolute peace itself. And how does this person gain? Karma palam tyaktva. Karma palam tyaktva means having given up the concern for karma palam. Having given up the concern for karma palam, he attains this palam. Whereas now he gives the contrast to a karma yogi, a person who is not a karma yogi. Krishna gives the contrast to him, or a karmi, we can say a karmi. The one who does not have the Karma Yoga attitude, is just a karmi who engages himself only in action. Such a person, what happens to him? Ayuktaha phale saktaha. Such a person gets attached to the result. Phale saktaha. Gets concerned over the result. Because of what? Kama karena. Because of the force of kama or desire. So because of the force of desire, this person gets attached to the karma phalam, to the result of the action. Because of that, phale saktaha, he is concerned about the result and nibadhyate, gets bound to the karma and the phalam. Nibadhyate means the person gets bound to them. And what does it mean? Actually, this is how it actually happens. When a person has a very strong desire for the karma phalam, what our karma does, for the karma phalam, when he has a strong desire for that, the very strong desire itself will blunt his buddhi. The very strong desire, craving desire to gain whatever he wants to gain through that karma, that will blunt his buddhi. Buddhi blunt his buddhi even what? The thinking power is gone. The ability to discriminate is gone. The ability to discriminate what is good and bad is gone. And because of that, what he does? He forgets the fact that the desire may not be fulfilled also. Because his desire is so, craving is so much. He does not want to accept the fact that a desire can be fulfilled, need not be fulfilled also. Because that is the law of nature. It may or may not be. Right? It's a very, very simple fact. Every children, we know that. Right? They all do that. So everything we try may not succeed all the time. Sometimes may succeed, sometimes may not succeed. So when the desire becomes so strong, this person is not ready to accept failure. Desire is so much strong. He has to get it somehow. He is not willing to accept failure. And this incapacity is the result of what? Excessive desire. So he no longer he has desire. What he has done? He allowed desire to have him. So he is in the grip of desire. He is no more, he cannot use his intellect anymore. His discriminative ability is gone. He is blunted. So he is phale saktaha. Phale saktaha. And because of his non-acceptance of the result, because of the non-acceptance, which is caused by the blinding. By the blinding of the desire. But blinding desire, what happens? Nibadhyate. Person gets bound. And bondage here means what? Reaction. So reaction is put in so many words. Bondage is only again reaction here. So we should always remember this point that any bondage, samsara, all due to reaction. So whenever Krishna uses the word in the Karma Yoga field, we have to understand, not in the Jnana Yoga field. In the Karma Yoga field, it is not a literal rope. Bondage is not a literal rope. You bind something with a rope. It is not that. It means reaction. It means fear, anxiety, frustration, depression, all those things. They are all bondage. Not just some rope binding somebody. They are all bondage. So which alone we call what? Samsara. Samsara is all this. Samsara is not anything, something separate. It's all this. So in the first line, Krishna talked about Karma Yogi, who will get relative peace and who will get absolute peace through Jnana Marga. whereas a karmi will end up in samsara. So between karma yogi and karmi, this is the only difference. A karma yogi will get intermediate peace leading to ultimate peace, whereas a karmi will end up in permanent bondage, permanent samsara. So that is the difference between karma yogi and karma yoga and karma. Karma yoga leads to moksha and karma leads to samsara. Karma yoga leads to moksha, karma leads to samsara. So the results are diagonally opposite. Action remaining the same. That is important. The same action done with two different attitudes. One attitude is karma yoga attitude, another one is a karmi attitude. The attitude only remaining is different. Karma yoga also involves physical action, and so does karma. Only the difference is the attitude. Because of the small difference in the attitude, the results are going to be so much different. One will get moksha and one is going to end up in samsara forever. That one leads to liberation and the other one will bind him down to samsara. Therefore, Arjuna, I want you to be in pravritti marga, be in the field of action, but practice karma yoga. Go through the stages of what? Yoga yukto, vishuddhatma, vijitatma, jitendriya. We saw all that thing earlier. Vishuddhatma, vijitatma, jitendriya. All those terms we explained last class. So, become a vidvat sannyasi even while living as a grahastha. So, be in the field of action. Be in grahasthashrama, in the family life. And become a vidvat sannyasi. The one grahasthashrama sannyasi who will live without attachment to karma phala. Sarva karmani manasa.
Sarva karmani manasa. Sarva karmani manasa.
Sanyaste sukham vashi.
Sanyaste sukham vashi. Sanyaste sukham vashi.
Sarva karmani manasa. Sanyaste sukham vashi.
Sarva karmani manasa. Sanyaste sukham vashi. Sarva karmani manasa. Sanyaste sukham vashi.
Navadware pure dehi.
Navadware pure dehi. Navadware pure dehi.
Naiva kurvanna karayan.
Naiva kurvanna karayan. Naiva kurvanna karayan.
Navadware pure dehi. Naiva kurvanna karayan.
Navadware pure dehi. Naiva kurvanna karayan. Navadware pure dehi. Naiva kurvanna karayan.
So Krishna now picks up the topic of Vidvat Sannyasa again. Whatever he left earlier. So that is the main topic of fifth chapter. Vidvat Sannyasa is the topic of main topic of the fifth chapter. So he picks it up again. So he is using the word sannyasa only in this particular sense here, not in the sense of physical sannyasa. Krishna did not mean physical sannyasa here at all. That means renouncing everything, taking akar robes, sitting in a hut. He's not talking about that at all. He is talking in the field of action, being in the grahasthashrama. That's what he is telling. So, but Arjuna is thinking that this is what Krishna is talking about. What Arjuna thinks? Arjuna is talking about that ashrama sannyasi. Leaving everything and then, leading a secluded life. So Krishna is intending the internal sannyasa, while Arjuna has been understanding as the external sannyasa. That is the main difference between what Krishna attempts to tell and what Arjuna is trying to understand. So in this chapter, Krishna wants to make it clear that the sannyasa I want you to take, O Arjuna, is the internal sannyasa, is what I want you to take. Not that external sannyasa. Don't try to run away from the battlefield. Be in the field of action and become an internal sannyasi. So remain wherever you are. Like what? The lotus leaf. Lotus leaf is in the middle, in the entire field of water. So be in the field of water, action, and do not get wet by water. Do not get wet by the actions. So this is the sannyasa I want you to take. And this sannyasa is being talked about again more and more in the following shlokas actually. Vashi sarva karmani manasa sannyasya aste. Vashi means the one for whom the organs are under control. We think they are in our control, are they? This Vashi is the person for whom his organs are in his control. Right? They are in his control. Right? Is there a big difference or not? There's a big difference, right? Organs in your control and organs doing things of their
wish, yeah. Right? So Vashi, the one for whom the organs are in his control, that means what? He is an sadhana chatushtayam sampanna adhikari. The person who is endowed with the sadhana chatushtaya sampanna he is. Okay? So one for whom there is control of mind, control of the senses, all of them are there. So this control is called Vasha. The one who has this control is called Vashi. Right? So the one who has this control. So this is the famous example actually in the Kathopanishad, which we have already seen earlier. I quoted this same shloka earlier. The driver for whom the chariot is perfectly under control. He has got all these five horses, all the five indriyas. And he has got the reins. So they are under his control. He can lead the vehicle to destination. The horses cannot pull the vehicle to that destination, wherever they want. Otherwise, this will pull this way, this will pull that way. No. He can control them so that he can take the chariot to the destination that he wants to take. Similarly, the one for whom his senses, his body, his mind are under control, he can reach the destination of what? Knowledge. Self-knowledge or moksha. So such an adhikari, such a person endowed with such a control, what does he do? Sarva karmani sanyamya. Sanyasya. Renounces all action. Sarva karmani. All actions renounces. He renounces all of them. Sanyasya. Sanyasya means renounces. Sarva karmani. Then immediately Krishna can be, Arjuna can misunderstand this also. But he renounces all actions. Right? This person renounces all actions in what? Aha, renunciation of all actions. So I can renounce my karma. Leave the battlefield. Right? He can think and go to Rishikesh. Arjuna might think. So Arjuna, he may again think of the external sannyasa. Therefore Krishna emphasizes manasa sannyasya. Renounce it internally. Do not try to renounce it externally and go away. Renounce it internally. I never mean outward sannyasa at all to you. I mean mentally having renounced. Internally renounced. How to mentally renounce? Mental renunciation is done through only knowledge. Only when knowing. Not through action. Only through knowledge you can mentally renounce. So manasa. Atma, anatma, viveka, jnanena. Only by understanding the atma and anatma, that viveka I should have. Only when I have that knowledge, then I can renounce. What belongs to atma, what belongs to anatma. I am the body or I am the consciousness. That knowledge. But who does the action? I am a karta or akarta, bhokta or abhokta. All this knowledge he should have. So atma, anatma, viveka jnanena. Okay. And how does renunciation takes place through knowledge? That also we have to understand. Karma is karma. Whether it is knowledge is there or not, any action is an action. I may do an action with knowledge or without knowledge. It's an action, still action. So how can it take place if we ask? Krishna has answered it earlier already. Indriyani indriyarteshu partante. Anatma anatmani partate. So we have understood earlier. Aham atma naiva kinchit karomi. Aham atma naiva kinchit karomi. Knowledge. We have seen that earlier. So the shloka of last class is Krishna listed so many actions. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jigran. All those actions he said. I may be in the field of all these activities. Through knowledge, I understand that action always belongs to anatma, the body. Action never belongs to me, the atma, the chaitanyam. Atma, action belongs to only the anatma, the body. And I am never matter. I am the conscious principle. I am never matter. And I, the consciousness, do not do any action at all. So these are at the knowledge level only. These are not at action level. I, the consciousness, am not doing any action at all. So this theme Krishna has said in every chapter. So in the second chapter, Veda Vinashinam Nityam, all those shlokas, Katam Sapurusha Parthakam Gata Idhantikam, all those shlokas we saw. How can Atma kill anybody? We saw all those shlokas earlier. So Atma does not kill anyone. The body kills. In the third chapter also, Tattavittu Mahabaho, Guna karma vibhaga yoham guna guneshu vartante iti matvam na sajyate. We have seen all the shlokas earlier. So saguna vastu will act with saguna vastu. Guna guneshu vartante. I, the nirguna atma, do not do any action. So I am the Nirguna Atma. Saguna Vastu will interact. But Nirguna Vastu, I will not interact. I have no action at all. So in the fourth chapter also he said, Karmani Akarma Yapashyete. Akarmani Chakarma Yaham. So Jnana Agnidagda Karmanam. So all those shlokas we saw earlier, there also he said, the one who sees the actionless self, we described that term very elaborately at that time, the actionless self, in and through the action of the body. So body engages in all kinds of action. In and through all actions of the body, the one who is able to see the actionless self, that person is Yukta. He is the person who is endowed with the knowledge. And also in the fifth chapter, also Krishna says, same thing, all the time, he is emphasizing only one thing, that Anatma is Karta, body is Karta, body is the doer. And Atma is Akarta, consciousness is not the doer anytime. So you are the Atma and not the Anatma. You are the conscious principle, you are not the body. This alone is said here again, Manasa Sanyasya. So Manasa means through knowledge. So with the knowledge that Naiva Kinchit Karomi, we saw it in the last class, I do not do, the body does. I do not do any action, the body only does all actions. And having done this renunciation, so Manasa, having renounced internally, Sukham Aste. This person, he lives comfortably. Sukham. He has got all Sukham. With living with this attitude, with this internal renunciation, he has all Sukham, no Dukham at all. All Dukham is gone. Because all discomforts come when? Only when I am Karta. Only when I claim doership. Then only I have all the Sukham and Dukham. The moment I renounce doership, I have no sukham or dukkham at all. So karta means karma palam. Karma palam has to come, you know, sometimes can be comfortable, sometimes may not be comfortable. Karma palam can be either way. So discomfort is because of what? Kartrutva buddhi, the doership attitude. The moment I have the doership attitude, I will have this sorrow, this dukkham all the time. So once kartrutvam is gone, the doership is gone, person is in peace. He is peaceful. So actually there is this crow, the story, you know, the crow was holding some vada or something in its mouth. So all the other crows were all trying to pounce on it, try to grab the vada from him and all that. This crow was saying, why all these crows are against me? What is wrong with all of them? Then suddenly it realized, oh, it is because of this attachment to this vada, let me throw it away. It threw it away. Every crow is gone. Nobody came near him at all afterwards. The same way. So you throw these things, you won't have any bondage, no more dukkham at all. So, kartrutvam is that piece. Like the vada piece which the crow is holding on its mouth, kartrutvam is that piece. Because of which, all the forces like what? Sanchita karma, agami karma, prarabdha karma, all of them are biting this person. Because of the kartrutva buddhi, that attitude. All devatas, neighbors, friends, everybody. They all are, they really have something to do with him. The moment you give up kartrutvam, the moment, because all relationships are all due to that. The moment you give kartrutvam, sukham aste, sukham comes. So sukham is actually here adverb. Happily he lives. The person happily lives ever after. Right? And where does he stay? This person, where does he stay? Such a person. Navadware pure dehi. Such a dehi. This person, he lives or resides in the city consisting of navadwaras, nine gates. This Jivatma, he lives in the city of nine gates. And what is the city consisting of nine gates? Nine gates, the body. This is the city which consists of nine gates. The body consists of nine gates. What are the nine? The seven holes in the face. The two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth. All of them, Satta Dwarani. And down below, two holes for evacuation. So all of them together is Navadwaras. And most of the gates are only one-way traffic. All these things, you know, you cannot put anything through the eye, you can only see it from the eye. Baltikam, it's only in, you know, one-way traffic, right? Everything goes in, something comes out. Most of them are only mouth, where you also eat, it goes in, when you speak, comes out. So it is only two-way traffic. All others are only one-way traffic. You hear what comes out through the ear, nothing comes, right? And through the nostrils, you inhale and exhale, that comes. And mouth, you also speak, and you are two different actions. But eyes, you see only. So most of them have got this only one action, and this is most of the gates are only one-way traffic, because some of the gates are for receiving and others for letting out. Some of them for releasing also. So like a city where there are many gates. Actually, Shankara, Ashankaracharya, he gives in some other context. he makes a very, very elaborate explanation of this city, this Navadwara, this city, Navadwarapura. There are many factories inside. He gives an enormous description. There are a lot of factories inside. Some are essential services in the factory. Some of them are, you know, functioning all the time. Like the heart and the lung, they have to function all the time. You don't have to speak all the time, but heart has to function all the time. The lung has to function all the time. Having manufactured so many things, that the goods have to be transported through various parts of the body. Big highways, miles and miles of long highways will be there. So sometimes, you know, there can be band. The blood may not be able to flow, you have to do a bypass. So all those things are all there in the body. So all Shankaracharya describes this Navadwarapuram in elaborate detail. So some gatekeepers, they will act only when you are in Jagratavastha. When you are awake only, they will work. When you are not awake, they won't work. When you are asleep, can you smell? Smell may be there, you don't smell anything, right? When you are awake, when you are asleep, you don't. The moment you wake up, you smell. Not until then, right? So some of those gates, they don't work when you are not in Jagratavastha, right? So these gates are closed. So there is an elaborate discussion. They come, actually gives in the Kathopanishad. So, Puram Ekadashadvaram Ajasya. So, they normally give Ekadashadvaram, actually, seven holes in the head and three including the navel. They include the navel also at the bottom and one on top of the head. So, seven in the face, three at the bottom. This Brahmarandram at the top. When the child is very, very small, you can feel the tenderness of the head, you know. So, that is called Brahmarandram. So, normally they say this thing escapes if prana escapes through that, then that person goes to some gati and all that, shukla gati, all that thing. There are so many other ways of dealing with that. But there is another hole in the head. So all these 11 holes are also given there also. So the whole body is compared to the city, and the jivatma, the chaitanyam, is compared to the lord of the city. The jivatma is the lord of the city. So he is the prabhu, or the king, or the ishwaraha, or the chaitanyam obtaining in the body. Obtaining in the body. And why we say the Lord actually? Because only as long as the Lord is available, the body will function. If the Lord is not there, the body will not function, right? You may have all these 9 gates, 11 gates, doesn't matter. None of them will function if the Lord is not there. The Jivatma is not there, the conscious principle is not there. This will not function at all. If it is not there, none of them will function. So once the Jivatma quits the body, once the king or the ruler is gone, what happens? All these things, they all will go away. They will not function at all. So, in a king, so where there is a kingdom without a king, all functions will come to an end. There is no leader, everything will come to a standstill. So, the kingdom will die when there is no king there. And that is why the boy, so you know, the person no more functions efficiently, the body becomes rot. The body doesn't function anymore efficiently, it becomes a rotten body. So the Jivatma, the king, the Dehi, once he leaves this body becomes a rotten body, a rotting body. So in the language itself, actually Krishna highlights a very, very important point here by saying that this Jnani resides in the body. So Dehi means Jnani here, the consciousness, the Atma. As the Jnani resides in the body, Krishna makes it very clear that the body is only a residence for the Jnani. For the Dehi, for the Jnani, the body is only, for the Jivatma, it is only a residence. He is not the residence. The body is the residence, but he is not the residence. So Jnani says, I am available in my body. He never says, I am the body. See the difference? Jnani never says, I am the body. He says, I am available in the body. What an Ajnani says, I am in the city of the body, but he doesn't say, I am in the city of the body. He says, I am the body. Right? That's the Ajnani says. Whereas a Jnani says, I live in the city of the body. When the city is rotting, he says, what? I am rotting. When the body has headache, he says, I have headache. Right? So, He associates himself with the body, the association of the person with the body. So by using the word Puram and Dehi, when Krishna used the word Puram means the city, Puram and Dehi, Krishna clarifies that Jnani is totally detached from the body. It is very, very, as I told in the last class, it is very easy for anybody to understand that my body is different from your body. I am different from your body. Very easy to understand. But it is very difficult to understand that I am different from my body. Right? That's what Puram and Dehi, he used two different words. So Dehi is the Jivatma and Puram is the city, the body. So they are two different things. So Dehi actually in Sanskrit means Dehaham Asya Asti Iti Dehi. Dehi means the person. I am called the Dehi because of what? When I look upon the body as my possession, I have it. So it is my possession. I possess the body. It is, I am not the body. I possess the body. I am called Dehi because when I look upon the body as my possession. And when I say I have a body, it only means what? I have a body and I am not the body. That knowledge should be there. So it is exactly like what? I have a dog. Can I say I am the dog? Right? So same thing. I have the body. I am not the body. So Jnani is Dehi and he has a body as his residence. It is a lease residence perhaps. It is there for some time. After some time goes away. After some time the lease will end. Prarabdha ends, lease will end. Body will end also. When the residence falls apart, the residence still exists. The residence falls apart. The house falls apart. But the resident, he still exists. So even if the body goes away, the Chaitanyam remains. It ever remains. Okay. So the residence goes away. So till then, the person can comfortably live in the city of 9 gates. Till the body falls away, he can comfortably live in the city of 9 gates. Living in the body, what this person does? Naiva Kurvan. He is Akarta. He lives in the body, does nothing. He is living in the body, but he is not doing anything. Naiva Kurvan. Not only he is Akarta, na Karayan. Not only he does not compel anyone to do anything either. So he not only he is not doing anything, he is not making anybody to do anything else also. He is not an agent for doing anything else. So na Karayan. He does not persuade anyone to do anything also. Residing in the body, he doesn't do that. Because even if one does not act, I may not act, but if one makes another person act, instigate other one to make an act, then that is also Kartrutvam. I may not do any action, but I may make somebody else to do the action, then also I have Kartrutvam. I have still doership. I made the other person do the action for me. I still have Kartrutvam. So instigation also is indirect Kartrutvam only. Instigating another person to do an action also is indirect Kartrutvam. So instigator also will have to share the punishment in law. So the person who is instigator also gets punished. The crime may be done by somebody else. Somebody might have done the murder. But the murder has been instigated, orchestrated by somebody else and he gets the punishment also. So similarly, Atma might not do anything directly. Consciousness, Jivatma, it may not do anything directly, but if Atma instigates the body and intellect, the body and intellect to do action, then part of Kartrutvam will come to the Atma also. If Atma resides in the body and instigates the body to do action, then part of the action, Kartrutvam should come to Atma also. Krishna says, Atma does not instigate also to do anything. Na karayati. So, na karoti is one thing, na karayati. It is not instigating anything else also to act. It is neither karta nor karayita. It is neither acting itself nor making anything else to act also. Okay, this is fine as a statement. If Atma does not instigate to do action, how is it that Anatma, the inert body, is acting? That question will come. Right? Body is inert. When the Atma is not there, it is dead. It is inert body, made up of matter. How then this body can act if Atma is not instigating that to act? Right? That question can come. Actually, Kasopanishad says what? Kena ishitam patati preshitam manaha kena pranaha pratamaha praiti yuktaha. That's what it says in Kasopanishad. So, who is it because of whom the body, mind, intellect are all acting? That is the question. Who is it because of whom all these things are acting? They are all acting. My mind acts, my hands act. How? Because of whom they are all acting. And you say it is all because of Atma. Because only when Atma is present, all these things are acting. Then how can you say Atma is not instigating them from action?
Correct? That question can come. So can opening this question comes. So now we are contradicting. You are now saying Atma is not acting. Atma is also not an agent. Atma is not instigating anything to act also. But how then all these things are acting? They are acting only because of Atma. Now tell me, what does Atma really do? Atma is Jivatma is there. What does it really do in the body? We may say Atma does not instigate. Atma is simply present. What we say is, Atma is not instigating, Atma is simply present. Sannidhi, Sannidhyam. In presence of Atma, in the Sannidhyam of Atma, in the presence of Atma, the body, the mind, the intellect, they all get the capacity to do action. In its very sheer presence. It is not instigating anything, by its mere presence, all these things get the ability to act. Atma does not instigate, Atma is simply present. Sannidhi matra. So in the presence of Atma, equipment gets the power to act. All these body equipments, they get the power to act. Actually here normally the example they give in Vedanta is Suryaha, the sun. The sun does not force anyone to do anything. Sun only rises and sets. It does not force anybody to do anything. In fact, the sun is just is. Wherever it is there. Right? And when the earth rotates, the sun rises. Again, when it rotates, sun sets. Sun is wherever it is. Only earth rotates. And because of the rotation of the earth, we have rises, we have sunrise and sunset. And when the earth rotates, all these things come. So, as far as the sun is concerned, there is no rising or no setting. Simply it is. It is wherever it is. And when the sunrise comes, what happens? When the sunrise comes, people all get into various actions. They all wake up. They all engage in various actions. The moment sun rises. During the entire day when the sun is there, so many activities happen. Some activities are good, some activities are bad. Punya karmas are happening, papa karmas are happening. Does sun have anything to do with that? It is simply there. In its presence, all these actions are happening. Once sun sets, everything goes to again sleep. No activity happens. So, can we now say that the sun is instigating all people to act and also to withdraw? Sunrise, everything acts. Sunsets, everything withdraws. Can we say sun is instigating anybody to act or to withdraw? So, does not have any such intention at all. Sun does not have any such intention. In fact, even if we don't get up also, the sun is not going to bother. Saturday, somebody, for some people, you know, morning is only at 11 o'clock, right? Early morning, 11 o'clock only Saturday or Sundays, right? So, only maybe on school days, it has to be at 6 or 7 because school bus will leave otherwise. Amma will not drop school. So, the sun, even if we don't get up also, this sun is not going to bother. It does not also and it does not will also. Sun will not will also. Then what does the sun do? It does not do anything, but it is. Asti. It is just there. But in the presence of the sun, things get illumined and they get active. This is called Sannidhya Matram. Natum Karayitrutvam. Sannidhya Matram. Just because of its presence, things happen. Right? It is not the sun's will. Or sun's will or it's a mistake. No. Actually, some people are also like that. Some people are, by seeing one, they have to just see one person. The moment they see him, they get angry. The mere presence of the person makes them angry. He didn't even open his mouth. He didn't do anything. He's just there. That's it. This person immediately gets angry. Why he should be? Nobody knows. The very moment he is there, he gets angry. You know, people always do that. And actually, another example Shankaracharya gives is the magnet and the iron filings. There is this magnet. The magnet does not invite any iron filings. Magnet is just there. But all iron filings, they go towards the magnet. Right? They get attracted towards them. You come here or you go there. The magnet is wherever it is. But the iron filings, they just run towards the magnet. Right? So, not because it's magnet's will. Magnet is wherever it is. But it is the swabhava of the iron filings. The nature of iron filings is to get attracted by the magnet. And so, Atma does not will. Atma does not plan. Atma does not instigate one to be good or bad. Atma does not do anything. Atma is sheerly present.
It is just there as a witness, as a sakshi. So this is very important, very very important, because otherwise what people will do? Will blame Atma for all murder they are doing. Right? It is not my job, it's all Atma's job. Atma caused murder. I didn't do anything. Right? That's what they will. So every evil, they will blame it on Atma. A murderer is a murderer because of Atma, not himself. He's a Atma. So Atma also should be put in jail then. Right? So there will be a problem. So Atma is only present. Atma is only sheer presence, sanidhya matram. A murderer is murderer, not because of Atma, but because of the negative values in the intellect. Because he has got negative values in the intellect, he becomes a murderer. Somebody is a noble person because of noble values in the intellect. It has nothing to do with Atma. A noble person does not have a noble Atma, and a murderer does not have an evil Atma. Atma is Atma, he became noble because of evil thoughts. This person became noble because of good thoughts. Okay. So, Navadvare Pure Dehi, Naiva Kurvan, Na Karayan. Naiva Kurvan does not do anything, Na Karayan does not instigate anything to do also. And this Atma is who? Who is this Atma? The Jnani himself. This Atma is nothing but the Jnani. The Dehi, the Atma, the Chaitanyam, the Jnani, the Brahman, all are one and the same. So, Jnani no more says, I have such an Atma. He says, I am Atma. Atma, who does not do anything. I do not do anything, who is present in the body. He is sheer present in the body. And the body is active. It reaps the results. It is born. It will die. It will go through the cycle of janma. It will do all this punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. The body will go through the cycle. Atma ever is. Atma does not go through any of those changes at all. So I am na jayate mriyate vakata kadachitim nayam bhutva bhavitam vanaguyaha. Right? Ajo nityaha sashvatoyam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire. With this knowledge, the jnani lives comfortably all the time. He has no dukkham, no samsara, no sorrow at all whatsoever. Right? So karma yoga enables the person to go through this marga. So between karma yoga and karma, there is a ocean of difference. Even action remaining same, only the attitude varies, the results are diametrically opposite. Karma yogi can reach moksha, a karmi goes into samsara. And for a vidvat sannyasi, being in the field of action, being in the field of grahastha ashrama, then live an internal secluded life, in sannyasi internally renouncing the life, the person goes through this marga and he lives ever happily. For that person, for this jnani, ever happily means what? He does not depend on any external circumstance or situation or people for his happiness. He is happy himself. If you are there, he is happy. If you are not there, he is happy. He is ever happy. Because his happiness does not depend on any external condition. So this deconditioning of the thought that I am the body, that's what Krishna is attempting to do here. Because we all have that notion, I am the body notion. So that notion Krishna is trying to decondition by going through all this analysis. Yo veda dau swaram prokto vedante kapratipitah tasya prakriti nasya parasamaheshwara shri krishna.